You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger.
Good morning. It's a Tuesday here on the Daily Tip. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Michael Jenkins. Coming up in a few minutes, we bring on producer Matt to play a little fact or fiction to make sense of all of today's NBA headlines. Well, Jenks, the headline yesterday, right after our show, Pat Beverly went on ESPN and did what he does best, and that is be the number one hater in the NBA, defending his crown as the NBA hater of the year by going in on Chris Paul. He said, Chris Paul can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know that. He's a cone. Give him the Ben Simmons slander. Do you think he was out of line here?
I see the point he was trying to make, but it's funny. And I don't know if you saw the memes of Chris Paul and a cone. I saw a cone meme that was very funny. It was so stupid. I'm like, somebody like Microsoft painted a cone and they put like CP3 in the middle. I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But here's the thing. He's not necessarily wrong, but he did say something. I was like, and he said, listen, I'm not saying bench him permanently. I've been benched before. Nobody remembers it. I'm like, yeah, because you're Pat Beverly. I like Pat Beverly.
You're coming off the bench.
Yeah, because you're Pat Beverly. You're not the same as CP3. You're not a Hall of Famer. You're not a guy who has been on these teams that he has been on. He is on a different level than you. So if Chris Paul gets benched, if a superstar gets benched, absolutely people will remember it. And he was saying, oh, people would forget about it. No, they wouldn't. If you benched Chris Paul in a game 7 where they could move on to the playoffs, and you're benching your Hall of Fame point guard trying to get a championship, people would remember that. It would resonate. So he's not the same player. I think my issue with Pat Bev is he's not necessarily wrong, but because he's so cocky and confident in his own abilities, he equates himself with the best players in the league, and he's not. He's not a superstar.
You can dislike somebody and still agree with some of the things that they're saying.
Sure.
Because I feel like he did bring up some decent points. And the fact that Chris Paul was not getting the type of slander that we see for like James Harden. Because look at James Harden. Aren't they on the same level, Chris Paul and James Harden? And we saw James Harden wilt in the playoffs. You know, it was game after game where he was just kind of disappointing. He had a few good ones sprinkled in there. But look at several games for Chris Paul where he was very underwhelming. For a guy that's supposed to be a top-level superstar, Chris Paul was not great in the postseason. So at some point, like, imagine if LeBron James did that. And I know that's a different level, but that used to be the comparing point for superstars in the postseason. Because LeBron would score like 25. And if the Cavs lost, people were like, oh my God, LeBron James wilted in the postseason. But do you think Chris Paul is getting the right amount of slander? Do you think people are being too nice to Chris Paul?
No, I think... Let me put this a different way. I'm not disagreeing with Pat Beverly and his point just because I don't like him. And I think Patrick Beverly definitely has a place in this league. He's an incredible defender. He's made the defensive team, I think, a couple times, but he's never been an all-star. So my issue is not necessarily his criticism, and I'm not disagreeing with him because Patrick Beverly, I don't think, is very likable. I'm just saying when you compare your situation to Chris Paul's, it's not necessarily the same because you're not the same player. You're not on that level. But as far as his criticism specifically is concerned, I do think he has a point in that in the past few games, Chris Paul was not very good. He's not getting any younger. And if you look at his history in game sevens, he has been awful. He has not come through in these clutch situations. So I don't necessarily disagree with him, but I do disagree with the idea that it wouldn't be a big deal if he were benched because, oh, it happened to Pat Bev. No, you're a different type of player.
I will say that J.J. Redick was agreeing with him. He said maybe Chris Paul should have been benched a couple times just to kind of clear the vibes and reset the momentum and maybe get the rotations going. You know, if the team's not working well through Chris Paul, get somebody else in there and see if things work better. That's the name of the game, is making adjustments in the NBA. And sometimes when you have a veteran presence that is such a superstar, maybe the coach was afraid to take him out. Like, I feel like that's an odd thing to say, but I don't know. It wasn't working. But when you're down that much at halftime, I don't think it really mattered.
Yeah, are you going to make a rally when you're down 30 at the half?
No,
you're going to bench Chris Paul, and then all of a sudden you're gonna come in and rally or not? And by the way, the one thing that we're not talking about when it comes to this series is DeAndre Ayton, who is probably not going to be with Phoenix after this season, and it kind of got lost in all the pomp and circumstance surrounding the Mavericks just drilling the Suns and CP3 not performing well. But DeAndre Ayton did not play very many minutes in that game, and that was purposeful. He's in the doghouse for some sort of reason and an integral part of that team both this season and last season. We're not talking about that. Benching CP3 or not was not going to make a difference in this game.
I saw the quotes on DeAndre Ayton after the game. I forget what the exact quote was, but he said something about, oh, it's internal, the problems that we have with DeAndre Ayton. And it seemed odd for a team that has been telling us the entire season that, oh, we're like brothers. We have the best chemistry in the league. We've been there before. We're battle tested. And to see this kind of fall from grace, it was shocking, to say the least.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But let's move on to some of the teams that are still alive, and let's welcome in Matt to make sense of all of today's NBA headlines.
Fact or fiction?
You know, I was watching ESPN yesterday with this whole Pat Beverly thing, and Matt Barnes was actually on, and he said that he didn't necessarily disagree with what he said, but it was more disrespectful to Chris Paul. Chris Paul led the leagues in steals a record 6 times, and was an all-defensive player 9 times. 7 of those times were first team. So it was more disrespectful because, I mean, Chris Paul is older now and he's not as well on defense, but...
Yeah, I mean, is he a traffic cone? They got really good
ratings.
But that's the thing. That's Pat Bev's brand. Yes. He is a hater. He is the NBA hater of the year, and he proved it there. So part of it was a shtick, and he's trying to be entertaining, which I think he did.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
That's for sure. But back to the team still in it. The East, their Eastern Finals, they are back on tonight, and it is a rematch of the bubble season from 2020. Last year, actually, they were both eliminated as 6 and 7 seeds in the first round. But now they're top of their conference again, and they're meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics have a new coach and a couple of new players. The Heat, for the most part, have their same core with Jimmy Butler and Coach Spoelstra and all that. So, Chelsea, fact or fiction, this series will come down to that experience and coaching.
Fiction, just because I don't think the Heat have that much of an edge over the Celtics. It's not a young Celtics team anymore. I keep thinking that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are like, you know, 21, but they're not. They've been there for a while. They've been on the losing end of a lot of these playoff series. But I think this postseason specifically has really you know, leveled up the experience factor for a lot of these guys, because they've gone head to head with some of the most grizzled playoff veterans in the game. They went head to head with the Nets, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Those guys have a ton of playoff experience. And I know that's isolation ball, and it's a little bit different when it's, when you're talking about the scheme defensively, but still going against those guys, going against the NBA defending finals champions in the Bucks. So I think this year in particular has really leveled up the experience factor for the Celtics. I think they're more battle-tested than ever. So if there's a difference between these two teams in this series in the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think it's going to be experience. I think that these teams are more level than people are probably giving them credit for. So I'm going to go fiction.
I'm going to say fact. I think this is an absolute fact. Not necessarily when it comes to experience, but definitely when it comes to coaching. And here's why. These teams are very similar. And when you look at the spreads in this game, you're going to see really tight spreads. That's what we're seeing tonight in Miami. The Heat are laying 1.5 points. So the difference in this game, again, won't necessarily be how many vets are on the floor, but the individual moves the coaches make. I thought it was very telling that Ime Udoka said after game 6, going into game 7, when they had to have that win against the Bucks, Robert Williams was available. But he didn't play him on purpose, not because he was injured, but because he didn't want to disrupt the chemistry that the Celtics had on the floor in game 6. He liked it. He thought it would translate into game 7, and he did. And that little switch right there, I think, was absolutely key. We don't pay attention to things like that, but they absolutely matter. And in Eric Spoelstra, this is a guy for a long time who has gotten it done in Miami. When you talk about the elite coaches in the league, we hardly ever mention him. What about in that opening series against the Hawks when he actually held Jimmy Butler out of a game knowing that Jimmy needed to rest that knee because he needed him for the long term? It was a coaching decision, a bit of a risk, and it paid off because it gave Jimmy the rest. Miami went on to win the series. In a series with this many great athletes where the lines are going to be so close, how you coach, what players you sub in, what players you hold out, how you manage injuries will really matter. So I think this is an absolute fact.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the fact here. And again, I think it leans more towards the coaching end of things than the actual experience. I mean, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, they were all on that 2020 team. And those are the guys you want with the experience. But then again, also last year, Jaylen Brown did not play in that first round series against the Nets. Jimmy Butler was hurt a lot of last year. But this year, it seems like they are pretty much the same team. It's almost like one, depending on how they perform each night, it's like one team is just a better version of the other.
Yeah.
So I think that's just interesting. And having a guy that's been in Miami for as long as Eric Spoelstra has versus a first-year head coach. Yes, Ime Udoka was with the Nets last year, and he worked with people who had experience and coaches who also had experience. And he clearly learned a lot, and he clearly knows how to work his team. But when it comes down to the final 10 seconds of a quarter or a possession, little things that might not seem significant at the time, but I think those little things will go towards the Heat, which I think will be the difference, as you can see by these 1.5 point spreads.
I don't know. I think that coaching certainly matters. And obviously Coach Spo has the edge over most coaches in the NBA. But at the end of the game, I still feel like it comes down to execution from the players. And we've seen it even in a couple of those games against the Hawks where Jimmy Butler wasn't making shots. And I'm not going to, you know, say one game really goes against him. But I think at this level, if the coaching is not super mismatched, as we saw, like, I'm not going to say terrible things about Steve Nash, but I think that, you know, usually it's a coaching mismatch, but I don't think it comes down to coaching at the end. I think it comes down to the execution of the star players on the court.
I think it's both. I think this is one of those situations where we're forcing ourselves to make a decision, and it's both. And of course, execution will always matter. Execution will matter in every single game that you play, no matter what the sport. But here, these teams are so closely aligned and they're so similar that I think what could tip the scales in one way or the other, particularly if both teams execute, will be the coaching decisions and those that affect the outcome of the game. I think it may not be the primary thing here because because it's going to be such a tight series. But I think a move or two could app, or even how you manage your timeouts. Again, I think pointing out Steve Nash is a good example where he didn't do a great job of managing that roster, and certainly they underperformed. But here, I think it matters in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. It's going to be the little things that are going to decide the series, and I think that comes down to coaching and execution. But moving on to the West, we only have about 3 minutes here. The Dallas Mavericks have been on absolute fire this entire playoffs, and Luka Doncic has been otherworldly. I saw the stat yesterday. He outscored Devin Booker, he out-rebounded DeAndre Ayton, and out-assisted the point guard, Chris Paul, over the course of the seven-game series by himself. So, Jenks, fact or fiction? Luka is just too good to bet against right now.
Fact. Absolute fact. Now, I'm not saying the Mavs are going to win this series against the Warriors. Would it surprise me if they won the series? Not necessarily. I think the Warriors will win, but Luka is playing at a level that other guys just aren't touching right now. And it's not just the statistics that we're seeing. It's the consistency. He's doing this night in, night out. Look at the Warriors where Steph will have a great night, fall off a little bit. Klay will have a good night, fall off a little bit. Luka has no fall off in his game. He is absolutely getting it done, and he's not succumbing to the pressure. They asked him after the game against the Suns, after game seven, did you know you had just as many points as the Suns at halftime? And he goes, yeah, I did. I looked up at the scoreboard. I saw it. He's completely unfazed, totally confident, and I certainly would not be someone who would want to be on the wrong side of betting against a guy who's playing out of his mind right now. So I think this is a fact.
I'll go fact too, just because looking at the Warriors and how they defended Ja Morant, or lack of defense against him, because looking at Ja Morant of the Grizzlies and the games in which he played against the Warriors, he had no fewer than 34 points, 34 points, 34 points, 47 points against the Warriors. So as good as their defense is, they are prone to giving up some big nights to star players. And look at what Luka's been doing. I don't see it stopping here against the Warriors.
Yeah, my favorite thing about the NBA yesterday was all the memes of Luka Doncic shooting, making the basket, and just smiling and laughing, running down on defense. It was fantastic. I don't see that stopping anytime soon, so I'm going to have to say fact.
And also the fact that he's done this despite partying during the offseason and people calling him Hookah Doncic because there's pictures of him floating around the internet smoking hookah. Meanwhile, Chris Paul is saying how, oh, he wakes up at 6 a.m. and has this regimented diet, and Luka's one for the people, smoking hookah and eating cheeseburgers.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.